They never managed to get to 3-4 when they tested. I don't know what happened. Something went wrong there. It's good to have you here this morning. I trust that God is going to meet you at your point of need and speak exactly what you need to hear in your heart. Greet each other, please. 5 people around you. High five them. Make them feel welcome. If somebody's not smiling, say, "Hi, how can I make your day?" If they're not smiling, say, "How can I make your day?" As if you are answering a call at the call center. "Hi, how can I make your day?" Yeah, I'm funny because there's no electricity here. Okay, sir, go to the power switch. Oh, okay. It's not working. Great to have you. We're continuing with our series on Revelation, and let's see if we can get through the last 3 churches this morning in Revelation chapter 3. I trust, and please don't say so because you think you're going to hurt my feelings. Have you been learning something? Have you found it interesting and it wasn't interesting in the past? You can see how we can apply this to our lives and something we can, it can impact our lives daily as Christians. It's not just stuff about that's going to happen about scary monsters and end times, stuff that we can use for today. All right, again, the church in Sardis, Revelation chapter 3, and we're going to pick up from verse 1. So you can follow on the screen or in your tablets, phones, whatever, or if you've got a physical Bible. Those who have physical, like pages, Bibles, can you lift them up in the air? Can we see that this morning? There's still quite a fair amount, eh? There's something special about it, isn't it? I know that if we're in a, where there's like no electricity anymore, something like that, you still got something that you can see and use, and it's absolutely awesome. Okay. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. To 6. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These things says he who has the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars." You say, "What? 7 spirits? I thought there was only one Holy Spirit." We're going to get there. "I know your works, that you have a name that you're alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things that are remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember therefore how you received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk before me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Just a reminder about the backdrop. The Apostle John is in the Isle of Patmos. He's been exiled there. In other words, he was sent there because they thought this guy's woo-hoo. And God gave Jesus a revelation. The Lord sent his angel to John and to reveal this. And these are the things God said. "I'm going to show you things which are going to happen, things which are going to happen soon, things which are going to happen in the future." And he told him to write these letters and send these letters out to 7 churches, which were at the time in what we know today, modern-day Turkey. And each church was addressed with certain things. So that's the backdrop here, and this is the letter to Sardis. So some of the things we're going to mention and highlight over here. Yeah, in the scripture where it refers to the seven spirits of God and the 7 stars, simply refers to the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You say, where does that come from? Well, there's also like there's a sevenfold anointing that's upon Jesus. We see that in Isaiah chapter 11. Where it's a messianic prophecy about Jesus, and he speaks about the different anointings that are upon him. Yeah, as well speaks to the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So there's not 7 different spirits, one Holy Spirit, one Jesus, one God. That's what this is referring to, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It says here, "You have a name that you are alive, but you are dead." So I want to ask you, I wonder what reputation this church has amongst people that don't regularly go for church to church. Maybe you come here regularly, and for you, hierdie plek is vir jou aangenaam. Maybe it's easy because the time is convenient, or the distance is convenient, or you like that every now and again I crack a joke, or somebody forces you to come. Jy moet kerk toe kom, of jy kry nie kos hierdie week nie, of something like that. What is the reputation that the church has? And let's bring it a little bit closer to home. What is the reputation that you have as a Christian? Do the people at work know that you are a Christian? Or are you one of those special, secret, undercover, dark ops Christians that nobody knows you're a Christian? You just boom, pop out on Sundays, doom, doom, and then you go undercover again. Do people know that when they look at our lifestyles, can they see we are Christians? Do they know we're Christians because I have a t-shirt that says Jesus? Or because I've got a chain that says, that's got a little cross on, or I've got a sticker on my car that says, hoot if you love Jesus. I used to have, remember years ago, we used to have those fishes on the car, and legend has it that when Christians were having to get together secretly because of being persecuted, that fish would point in the direction where the Christians were gathering. I don't know what the case is, if that's true or not, I actually don't know, but I eventually took that off my car because of how badly I drove. Because I thought, no, this is not doing Christianity any good. So I just took that off. So the point is this. It says, you have a name that you're alive, but you're dead. And in preparing for this, these notes were prepared a long time ago, but I'm reading it over and over and over and just waiting on more and more from the Lord. I got to think, imagine you, I'll use this as an example. I ride bicycles, okay? I know some of you got a problem with that, but I enjoy it. We've all got our issues, and that's mine. So imagine I've got a little toolkit that I take with, and then there's a couple of gas bombs, and there's a couple of plugs and stuff like that, if in case I get a puncture. And because you put sky in the tire, when the sky comes out, it's porridge, and you've got to fix it. Imagine I get a puncture, and I go to the toolkit, And I take out one of those gas bombs and I put the little attachment on it and I put it on the tire and whoop, there's nothing. Imagine if it's like that with us. If people say, okay, I know that this person's a Christian. I'm going to go to them and I'm going to find help. And then you're having a particularly bad day. I mean, you're so angry you could tear a tissue in half with your bare hands. That's how angry you are. And people come to you and they're just like, ooh, I can't go to that person. You say, you have a name or a reputation that you're a Christian. But on the time that they go to you when you need help, you see, when is it convenient to praise the Lord? There's only two times when it's convenient to praise the Lord. There's only two times we should be praising the Lord. When it's convenient and when it's not convenient. Those are the times we should be praising the Lord. So when it comes to our reputation, remember we said that a man's name is only as good as his reputation, and his reputation is only as good as his word. Remember we said that last week. What reputation do we have? It says, yeah, you have a name that you're alive, but you're dead. The other way I thought about it was like when the pauper hits the fan, when we're really, really called upon to be the church of Jesus Christ, what are we like? If we had to just blend in a crowd of other people that I say are not regular churchgoers, if they look at our faces, lyk ons soos gelukkige mense. I'm not knocking you if you're folding your arms this morning, okay? You can relax, keep your arms folded, but if you're there like, right, what are you going to preach on today? Impress me, pastor. Come. Hoe lyk ons so? Does it look like we suck lemons? The only difference between us and a battery is that a battery's got a positive side. As mense na ons kyk, wat sien hulle? Now, you know, I know you don't have to walk around like faking it. Hey, or like, kry jou tanden warm. Wat glimlag jy so? That's what they used to ask us in the police college. Ek weet nie hoe kom nie. I still don't understand the meaning, man. Hoe kry jou tanden warm? Verduidelik dit vir my as Engels sprekende lid van die gemeente, asseblief. Kry jou tanden warm. Wat glimlag jy? Well, you have a reason to be happy. A reason to be happy. You know, isn't it interesting that we always tend, now maybe not you guys, because you're so old, but people in other churches. We always tend to compare ourselves to people that have more than us, instead of comparing ourselves to people that have less than us. I saw a clip this week about, it was a fake birthday present for a little kid. I think his toddler was about 3 or 4 years old. Ek weet nie, net bietjie jonger as julle oudste enetjie hier so. Dit is nie twee van hulle. And they wrapped up a banana. And they gave this kid a banana as a present. You should have seen how this child got excited and rejoiced about a banana. The child really got excited, like, yay! You know, the child was so small that sits up on the couch and the feet doesn't even hang over the edge of the seat part of the couch. Yay, rejoiced over the banana, opened up, yay, yay! And then the yay stopped because it took the first hump of the banana. And then they gave the child the real present. But a simple thing like a banana. So in the morning, when you wake up and you unwrap the gift of sight, when you have the privilege of being able to hear the alarm clock, when you can reach out and find the phone and like, when you have the privilege of being able to rake your mom's stink awesome, when you can smell it, when you can swing two healthy legs out of the bed, mensa, come on, man, ekstani somet hoenevleis. Those are gifts. You know, when you have a house, when you wake up and the house is still the same it was as it was when you went to sleep. Things like that, you know. And I know, yeah, I'm up there with the worst of them, complaining and moaning about the load shedding. But celebrating when the krach comes on again. When it comes on, yay! We've got power. Remember, we used to have money that used to advertise that we had electricity. Can you remember the old 2 rand notes? It had these pylons here. We advertised that we had electricity. Isn't it incredible those days? Hey, Mensa. Hey, how things have changed. So yeah, what is our reputation as the church? What is our reputation? Do we walk the walk or just talk the talk? Do your neighbors know that you're Christians? You know what I did? I learned from other people, not because I'm Oleg. When people moved in next door to us, you know what I did? I said, Corette, you know what to do? She put together a nice gift basket with all sorts of lekkernye. And I went to them and said, hi, my name is Mozzie. Welcome to the neighborhood. Please let us know if there's anything that we can do for you, and I'll get someone else to help you. No, no, no. That's not what I said. I said, my name is Mozzie. Please let us know if there's anything that we can do for you. Have you, your neighbors, have you invited them to church? Have you invited them to church? Just think about that. So, right. Then it says, be watchful. We've touched on this several churches. This has been spoken to these churches. Be watchful. Why must we be watchful? Okay, I know what the Bible says. How many of you, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but have ever read the Bible actually cover to cover? Can I see a show of hands? Whoa, church, come on, yalla. You must read the Bible cover to cover. I encourage you to do so. Why? Because we win in the end. Yes, we win in the end. It's a good book. It's a good read. Read the Bible cover to cover. It says, be watchful. You might say, okay, I've read the Bible. I know what happens. I know about the devil. God is real. God is good. Devil bad. God good. Devil bad. I know about that. Why must we be watchful? What's the point of this? Understand that we have a real enemy to overcome. People say, oh no, I don't believe in that superstitious stuff. I don't believe in cursed objects or occultic signs or occultic symbols. Or, yeah, I'll give an example. Now, listen, I'm not a ghostbuster, okay? But I'm going to share with you facts this morning. Is that okay, church? How many of you remember those little troll dolls? Short little fat baby things in their hair stuck up like a... Do you know that that word for that doll in Dutch means demon? Interesting, eh? You say, ach, Mozzie, per toeval. Really? No, mensa. A subtle way of softening us up to occultic things, occultic symbols, etc., to get those things in our homes. So, yeah, be watchful. Understand that we have a real enemy. The things of spirituality, people, whether you say you believe in demonic manifestations or not, it is irrelevant. You could say to me this morning, Mozzie, I don't believe in gravity. Well, join me up on the stage, and if you jump, you're not going to float like Michael Jordan. You're going to... At our school, we were trying to be cool. We said, gravity is a myth. The earth sucks. Gravity is real. So these things are real. It says, why must you be watchful? Be watchful, because the Bible says our enemy walks around like a roaring lion. But Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Why must he seek? Because the person that's watchful, the person that's prayerful, the person that's grateful, the person that has an attitude of gratitude, the person that's praising, the person that's testifying and telling others, the person that's honoring God with body, soul, and spirit, the devil would stay away from those kind of people. Often people, some people, even very famous teachers, they teach that the gift of speaking in tongues is not for everybody. It's something that happened then and it's not for today, etc. It's interesting that when you talk to Satanists that get converted, they say you get these Christians that are just Christians, and then you get these Christians that have like, there's like a fiery presence in them. There's like something burning on the inside of them, and they talk in this funny language. Even the Satanists recognize the effects and the benefits of having a spiritual gift like that. So be watchful, because we have an enemy to overcome. Church is not just a social activity. It's a battle for life and death. It's a battle for the space in your mind. It's a battle. It's about influence. How are you going to let the devil influence you? Or are you going to let God influence you? That's church life. Dis nie maklik nie, julle. People say that South Africa is not, or Oudtshoorn is nie vir sissies nie, of South Africa is not for sissies. Well, neither is Christianity, neither is Christianity. Just try for a season, for a while, carry your cross on a daily basis in a way that brings glory to God, and see. Then come talk to me and say, yeah, no, Christianity is easy. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, okay, but how many of you know the road sometimes gets tough? Eh? Anybody can say amen to that this morning? All right, it says, and then it goes on to say, and strengthen the things which remain. What things? Be sure to build on the good that God has deposited in your heart. When was the last time you got a text from somebody, or you got a meme or something, or you listened to a sermon or a podcast or something that really encouraged you, and it's like, wow, that edified you for that day. That scripture meant something. Those are the things that we must build upon. Those are the things that we must meditate on. People say, well, as a Christian, what can I watch? What can I listen to? What can I read? Where do you set the standard? Well, Ephesians chapter 4 speaks about that clearly. It says, meditate on these things, things that are good, things that are noble, things that are pure, things that are holy, things that are true. Meditate on these things. So it says there, strengthen these things which remain. Be sure to build on the good that God has deposited in our hearts. We do this by deeply meditating on what we're taught. Meditation is not some Eastern culture or religion thing. Meditating means to, in fact, the Bible says meditate on the word day and night, Joshua 1 and verse 8. Meditate on this word day and night. Do not let it part from your lips, and then God will make your way successful, right? That's what the Bible says. No. It says, meditate on this word day and night. Do not let it part from your lips. And then you will make your way successful. Met ander woorde, God has already given us heaven's best. There's not plan B, plan C. God's given us heaven's best. It's us. It's up to us now to step up in faith and receive what God has. And when you get something, you might have read a scripture, I don't know how many times over, and one day just at the right place, the right time, your heart is at a certain place, you come into church, and I share that scripture, and it's like, wow, I've never seen it like that before. What's that, my brother, my sister? That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. That's not just me, wara, 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 yara, 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 like that. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. That's what it means. Strengthen those things which remain. The command to that church is be watchful. Make honest assessments of ourselves. Make honest assessment of ourselves. That means if you have an area of weakness, admit it. Say, Lord, I need help here. Make yourself accountable to a Christian that will love you regardless. They won't look at you in a bad light if you tell them your deepest, darkest secret. You know, if you saw, you were in a bad mood and you saw a dove and the dove didn't see you coming and you went for it with your bucky and it became roadkill. You tell them like, oh, you killed one of God's creatures. Get behind me. Make yourself accountable to somebody. That's what it means. Be watchful. Make honest assessments of ourselves. And strengthen means to build up again what's been broken down. Right. The next church. Got some time left. The church in Philadelphia. Ephesians 3, verse 7 to 13. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true. He who is the key of David, who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one's opened. I found this very interesting. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. You have little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep from you the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Okay, first point I want to highlight from that passage is, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. What does that mean? That speaks so strongly to the sovereignty of God. What does it mean when we say God is sovereign? That means no matter how much I jump up and down and shout and scream and name and claim and protest and quote scripture and rondai, shondai, you tie, my tie, let's all eat a bow tie. No matter how much I do that, there are some things that God is not going to change. How many of you experienced that in your Christian walk? It gets us to the point where we say, Lord, but why? I mean, the scripture declares, and we say, Lord, your word says. And yet, it seems God does nothing. This speaks to the sovereignty of God. He shuts and no one opens. He opens and no one shuts. Sometimes we want things changed that God will not change. Or we want to hang on to things when God wants to bring new and better things into our lives. Let us examine ours and say, Lord, what is there that needs to change in my life? You see, for something to come into your life, something needs to go. Something needs to go. Okay, that's what it means. He shuts and no one opens, and he opens and no one shuts. The good of this church, you have kept my word even with little strength. Faithful during tough times. Would you say we're living in tough times? We're living in tough times. We're called to be faithful during those tough times. The command again, hold fast, endure, don't quit. This particular church had no bad report from Jesus. Nothing that the Lord would want to rectify for this church. Okay, we're doing well. A couple of minutes left. The last church for these letters. And then we're going to go from to Revelation chapter 4, right up to 21, 22, where it doesn't mention the church at all. Not once again, only after that. Why? Because at that time, the church is raptured. Woohoo! I'm looking forward to that. I don't know about you, but I'm really looking forward to that. Okay, the church in Laodicea. Revelation 3, verse 14 to 22. And to the angel of the church in Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness. These are names of Jesus. The beginning of creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I got the temperature wrong there. I could wish you were cold or hot. We always talk about being on fire for the Messiah, ani brand for the Here. But yeah, Lord wishes you were cold sometimes. Why? I'll tell you now. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Think about that. What a picture. Yo, you come to church and you're about vomit. Gross. Ew. It's in the Bible. I'm just a messenger. I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I'm rich, I've become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. What is the scripture speaking about you? Our spiritual condition. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments. In other words, stuff that has stood the test of time longer than Charles Glass. Can you say amen? That you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Speaking about how Adam and Eve were aware of their nakedness in the garden after they had the fruit salad they were not supposed to have. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. In other words, take off the glasses of the worldly perspective and see things the way Jesus sees them. Do you think God is sitting at his desk thinking, oh, how are we going to deal with this problem of load shedding? Jesus, any ideas on how we're going to deal with crime and corruption and all these crooked politicians? Or Holy Spirit, how do you think we're going to fix the weak rand in the global economy? Do you think God is sitting with these problems? No. No. So when it says, anoint your eyes with eye salve, change the way you see things. Get on a godly perspective. Allow God to give you a checkup from the neck up. That we no longer have stinking thinking. Because the scripture says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You know, folks, we laugh and we joke like that. It's so easy for me. Really, it's so easy for me to speak like that this morning. But when you're facing that battle in the mind, when it's real for you, it's a little bit different, isn't it? Can you anybody relate to what I'm saying this morning? Or is it only me that goes through these difficult things? I sit after a Sunday sermon, it's Monday morning, really like, what next, Lord? What next, Lord? Or you get that call from that person that's got this issue and you think, Lord, what do I say? What do I do? I got nothing to give. Folks, sometimes just your presence in that person's company makes the world of difference. Jy is net daar. You came. That's what counts. You pitched up. So, no matter what, dress up and pitch up. Anointing your eyes, we're speaking about that. Verse 19, and as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. God rebukes those who he chastens and who he loves, and he chastens those, he disciplines those he loves. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Wow. As I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear. You have an ear this morning? Show it to me. What about the other one? Yes, he who has an ear. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Once again, what we're going to break down. I know your works. God sees the true motives of our hearts. He sees the real fruit of our lives. Neither hot nor cold. Well, you think of the benefit of being warm. When it's cold, you want to be warm. And when it's cold, sometimes when it's hot, during this week on one of my training rides, I got a cycling computer, amongst other things, that shows you the temperature. It's the hottest I've ever experienced. 42.6 degrees. And there I was. 42.6 degrees. And when it's like hot like that, the last thing I want is a hot cup of whatever. I want something cold, something refreshing. That's when it comes, the benefit of being cold, that you can be like a refreshing presence in the lives of some people that need it. On fire for the Lord, or refreshing cold that brings soothing to others. Then the next point, it says, do you not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked? Do you not know? What does this mean? Being deceived into thinking we're okay when we're not okay. You know, we've been in the motorcycling ministry for 34 years now. And when we do outreaches at rallies and day jaws at the pubs or whatever, in all those years, I've yet to come across somebody that has said to me, no, sorry, I don't know this Jesus that you're talking about. Have you ever come across somebody like that? Have you? Somebody that doesn't know Jesus at all. Somebody said, no, sorry, I don't know this Jesus. I'm not saying, no, I don't know Jesus like you know Jesus. I'm saying, no, I've never, what, Jesus? Who's he? What did he do? I've never, ever come across one single person that has said, sorry, I don't know Jesus. Everybody I've ever ministered to in those, okay, apart from when we went to Tanzania and other parts in the world, that's a different story. But even there, because Jesus is famous, okay. I've yet to meet somebody that says, no, I don't know Jesus. In other words, they all know Jesus. And sadly, a lot of people think that spiritually they're okay. I think one of the downsides of being a pastor is that when people know you're a pastor, when you're in their presence talking to them, they start telling you about their spiritual life. They start like trying to justify, you know, I do this and I do that and I go, yeah, elke aand, and you know, bid vir die groot baas daarbo and ek vra hom om my te beskerm. They start telling you, and I didn't ask anything, I didn't question them, I didn't say like, so, you know, how's your walk with God, you know? Are you ready to stand before your maker today? Because they know you're a pastor, they just start, you know, hey, Mozzie, you gaan het? Word, yes, kies, hello, you gaan het? You know, yeah, lekker, bro. Listen, come on, man. Just, I tell people, and when a woordjie glip verby hulle lippe, they say, oh, sorry, Mozzie. I tell them, don't apologize to me. You want to be apologetic before me, but you think you can speak and act like you want before God, who sees your thoughts? Like, really? Isn't it funny how people are? No, you know what I do when people do that? I tell them, listen, my butt, I got to love and accept you as you are or not at all. Isn't that true? That's the kind of feeling that people must get from you. Isn't that true? Must be, you know. So our church must never be like this. We want people to behave. Okay? We want to make sure that they believe before they feel that they belong. That order is completely wrong. Did you listen to that? We want to make sure that they behave. We want to make sure that they believe before we make sure that they feel they belong. When they come here, day one, by the way they treated and greeted at that door or this side, they must feel they belong. Let God sort out what they believe, and in time He will sort out how they behave. Isn't it true? That's how it must be. That's how it must be. They must first feel that they are a full taste, man. I feel I belong. God will sort out what they believe, and in time He'll work on their behavior. So, not aware that you're wretched, miserable, poor, and it mentions all those negative things. That's being deceived that we think we're okay when we're not okay. Vertigo, in terms of flying, is when you think you're going in a certain direction, a certain altitude, because the instruments are demarcated because of the weather. In the meantime, you're heading for a mountain. You're about to crash and burn and die. Spiritual vertigo. Like, so because, well, I know Jesus, so surely I'm okay. You know, I'm not so bad. You know, I don't swear that often. You know, and it's only every now and again that I sleep around. You know, and I don't steal as much tax from SARS as other people do. You know, and it's been a couple of years since I killed someone. And you think you're okay. You know what words I really, really long to hear with every fiber of my being. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And you know what words I fear to hear? Sorry. Turn away from me. I didn't know you. And if you look at the scripture, what the scripture teaches, the people that are going to give Jesus, but Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't I do this miracle in your name? Didn't I do that in your name? So guess what? Gifts and things happen through these people. And Jesus says, I didn't
know you? Mense, hoe werk dit dan? Hoe werk dit dan?
Well, the Bible says in Romans 11:29 that the gifts and call of God are irrevocable. That means when God gives you a gift, hy gaan hom nie terugvat nie. A person can still get to operate with a type and a manifestation and a showing of those gifts, but can be distanced from God. To the point, I believe, where, you know, I won't say lose your salvation, because that's a topic for a different discussion, where Jesus says to you, sorry, I didn't know you. Turn away from me. Folks, then it's too late. So imagine if a person's at that place where they think they're okay, but they're not okay. So what makes you okay? Coming to church every Sunday. No. It can help. But it's what you do with what you hear at church that makes sure you're okay. It's what you believe in your heart. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died and rose again from the grave, that His blood was shed specifically to forgive you of your sins. And once you believe that, do you follow me? The Bible, it's in John 3:16 and one of the other epistles, not the Pauline epistles, one of the other letters where it speaks about being born again. After that, 70, plenty, something times, it says, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me. Born again is just the beginning. And folks, sadly, some people aren't even at that place. Some people aren't even at that place of saying, I'm born again. So that's what it means when it says you don't even know that you're miserable, poor, wretched, blind, and naked. The commandment, buy gold from me, another gold that's refined in the fire. Invest in that which is worthwhile, something that's of eternal value. I often think about this when we think of we're motorcycling enthusiasts. You think of who won the races, you know, who's first place. Some of us, I know, you battle to remember who was second. I know I seldom remember who's third, unless it was a fight. You just remember first place, second place, third place. Okay. What about the previous weekend's racing? Do you remember what the outcome was then? Last year, do you remember who lifted the trophy? Okay, die Wereldbeker is makkelijker for ons, because it's every 4 years. You know? It's every 4 years. But so, what am I saying? People, these things, it's good to have fun, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with celebrating sport. It's great, it's good. But those things are temporal. They just come and they go. You know? How many of you remember what I preached on before we started the series on Revelation? Even me, I've got to go check the notes. Eh? I must admit, I can sit down and think about it for a while, and then it will come back to me, because God gave me those messages. I didn't get it from a website, you know. But why? We look at things that are eternal and invest in things that are eternal. Amen? Okay, then it says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, so that means be teachable and allow God to change you. Second to last point, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. What's the point there? To him who overcomes. I want to end with this. There's a sure promise of certain victory. That's how this applies to us. Folks, for now, we've done chapters 1 to 3 of Revelation, and we've got to get through to 22. I've learned a lot from visiting these teachings for the church, but may God really help that which we've received travel the longest distance known to man, from our heads to our hearts, and may we live it out. And I pray that sign that's on that little railing outside, if you go out that way, it says, tell me what it says. Yeah. Yes. You've got it, like, I think if I put together what everybody said, we'll get the gist of it. But may it travel from our head to our hearts, and with God's help, with the help of each other as the body of Christ, may we go and be the change we want to see. Thank you for making the time to listen. May Almighty God bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you his supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. I'm going to ask one of our two very, very capable DJs at the back there. To really, and play something for us to end off with. Thank you, guys. God bless you and have a great week further.